The Hard Shoulder on Newstalk.
With the all-new Nissan Juke. The coupe crossover by Nissan. Nissan. Innovation that excites.
Now, it is 1 year since a hotel in Abbey Leaks became a permanent direct provision centre. But have the asylum seekers been made feel welcome in the County Laois town? Our reporter Barry White joins us. Barry, you've been to Abbey Leaks. What did you find?
Hi, Kieran. Good afternoon. Now, look, I suppose, first of all, I've been to lots of towns where there are direct provision centres. And sometimes you do get mixed views. Some people don't want these centres in their towns or villages. You sometimes hear people saying, we don't have enough doctors, we don't have enough teachers, or there's nothing here in our area for these asylum seekers. We've seen lots of protests last year in many rural areas. But that certainly wasn't the case in Abbey Leaks when I was there yesterday. I spoke to lots of people, the local priests, people in the school, local business people and people in the streets. And I honestly didn't meet one person who had anything negative to say about the asylum seekers in the town. So originally, the Hibernian Hotel was being used as a temporary centre, but it became a permanent centre last year. And there's now 48 people in the centre, including 26 children. But the big change here is that the centre is now self-catering and there's also a food hall. So residents can now cook for themselves, which you can't do in a lot of direct provision centres across the country. There's also many nationalities living in Abbey Leaks. There's people from Zambia, Nigeria, South Africa, Georgia, Albania, Togo, the Democratic Republic of Congo, and Guatemala and El Salvador. And these local people I spoke to told me the asylum seekers have been a welcome addition to the community.
It's lovely to have the diverse community in Abbey Leaks. I know personally here in the Vincent's shop, we've had some of the people who live in the direct provision and they've come to help me volunteering in the Vincent de Paul shop here, in the charity shop. I found them extremely friendly and very willing to lend a hand and wanted to be part of the community and what's going on in the community. They wanted to be a part of it all, and that was good for them because it must be very boring living in a place like a direct provision centre, and it's nice for them to be able to get out and do some work in the local community, even if it was just to socialise with other people in the community. And I've always found them to be very friendly and very helpful.
Well, as far as I can see there, I go up today, I do see some of them up here at the Catholic Church here of a Sunday when it's opened, and I'm around here very regularly, and I see no problem at all with it. I think they keep to themselves, and they're very good, really. I see them bringing out their kids down to the park, and there's no problem here in Abbey Leaks with them anyway.
All right, I thought that woman, when she said it must be very boring for them to live in a place like, I thought she was going to say Abbey Leaks. But no, she said that like the direct provision centre. My apologies to everyone at Abbey Leaks. You went up to the local school as well, where there was children from the centre where they attend.
Yeah, there's 11 children who are attending School Nor in Abbey Leaks currently. And speaking to the teachers and the principal, again, they say the kids have had a really positive impact. In some towns, as I say, last year, Kieran, there was protest. Some of the arguments against DP centres in rural areas that the schools just don't have enough teachers. Now, these concerns existed in Abbey Leaks as well, but the Department of Education stepped straight in. There was extra teachers were given, and there was language provision put in place as well, because a lot of these young people or young students who are residents in the direct provision centres, English isn't their first language. Now, I'm told COVID-19 did make studying from home difficult for a few months during the pandemic. The children in the DP centre, a lot of them wouldn't have their own laptops. But again, the community came together and got old laptops or tablets that weren't being used by people in the community, and these were given to the children. And the principal of School Nor is Aidan McAvoy.
Well, I have to say we have 11 students here at the moment. It varies because some children come and some children go depending on the movements, but we have a core group of about 11. It's been a very positive experience from us, from our point of view in the school. The children have enriched our community here in the school. They bring lots of various talents and interests and other voices that we can tap into. They're very much integrated here in the school. They've been made feel very welcome by the other children. And, you know, they are really well integrated into what we want to do here in the school, and we're very pleased to have them. They have integrated into the games here in the school. Some of the older children have got involved in the Cumann na Munscoil and the Gaelic games and whatever in the school. So it's very much a positive story from as far as we are concerned, and we are delighted to have them in our school community.
you have 11 pupils now at the minute, but have you had many pupils who have come and then maybe have had to leave and go elsewhere?
Yes.
Is that difficult?
It is. It's difficult because the children are just getting settled in. Different children have come. It's quite difficult for them when they have to move on. They don't get a huge amount of notice. But if they're moving on, it's usually a positive story because it means they're moving to the next level of their application, which means that they're probably being housed for a longer period or they have been granted their access. So while it's sad for them to leave, it's a good story for them because it means that their applications are being processed quickly and they're moving on. But having said that, you know, we've had contact from some of the pupils that have moved on. Some of the families have gone, some have gone to a place in Mayo, some have gone to Carrick and Shore in Waterford. They have sent back cards and let us know how they're doing. So they're all seem to be doing pretty well. But look, for whatever time they're with us, we do the very best we can for them and they bring everything they can to us and we're very grateful for that.
Barry, what about the asylum seekers themselves who are living in the town in Abbeyleix? Did you get to speak to any of them?
Yeah, I met a number of them outside the old Hibernian Hotel yesterday at a social distance. And again, they were very positive about the town. They say they've been made feel very welcome and the locals have been very helpful. However, COVID-19 has presented difficulties for people in direct provision. It's virtually impossible to social distance in these centres. I know this for a fact. I've been in about 10 direct provision centres around the country and they can be quite crowded. So it's just impossible to social distance in these centres. And the centre in Abbeyleix has had a number of positive COVID-19 cases in the last few months because some of the residents work in the local meat factory. But despite this, Ivan from Guatemala told me he's still very happy to be in Abbeyleix.
Me and my family, we're living here for at least 1 year now. When we took the decision to come to Ireland, it was so difficult because, you know, changes are very, sometimes very difficult, but we're so glad to be here in Ireland because, you know, people is being so nice with us.
Where are you from originally?
Guatemala City. We're coming from Guatemala City, and the place where I was born, it calls Quetzaltenango. We're very close to the border between Guatemala and Mexico. You know, the government sometimes in Guatemala, they don't really work well. It's been so difficult, especially with extortion and kidnapping and all that. So that's why we're here, you know. So I took the decision to have my family here, especially because it's safer than living in Guatemala.
What has Abbeyleix been like? You've been here just over a year. What's it been like? I'm sure it's very different to where you originally came from. But have you been made feel welcome?
Yes, absolutely, yes. Well, people here, especially in Abbeyleix, they're very kind people. They're very lovely people. And they've been helping us. Not only me, everybody inside the direct provision center. You know, we're receiving a lot from the community. And we're so happy with that. And we're really thankful with everything.
What is the center like itself to live in?
There are some parts that they difficult, especially with food. But other than that, I mean, I've been very grateful because at least we have a place where to live and where to stay. So that's important, right? But you know, sometimes it's kind of different, especially in these times of the COVID-19, because it's a little bit difficult to keep social distance inside. So that's. The only concern, but other than that, we're being okay.
That's Evan from Guatemala there, Barry. As you said, look, you've been covering the story and the issues around direct provision and the opening of centres in great detail, and including in places where there was a huge amount of opposition. And there was a lot of protests last year. People will remember you bringing it to us on air. Can Abbeyleix be an example to some of those other places you visited?
Yeah, I think so. Look, as we say, there was lots of protests in different towns and villages and rural areas around the country that had been earmarked to accommodate asylum seekers last year. Now, the Department of Justice did hold their hands up after this and admitted there should have been better communication with locals. So I think if there's better communication, then there may not be as many protests. Actually, if there's better communication, there's no excuse for having any protests. I think it almost comes down to just sheer racism if you're against this then. But yeah, look, Abbeyleix has been positive. Listenvarna and County Clare have been there. It's been positive. Wicklow Town, which had a huge protest before the direct provision centre came there, has also turned out positive. And parish priest in Abbeyleix, Father Paddy Byrne, says as far as he's concerned, all towns and villages in Ireland should welcome asylum seekers and refugees.
One of the challenges is, and I think it's symptomatic of direct provision centres, is to actually have roots and become embedded in a place one must actually live. And regrettably, many move or are moved on from place to place. And I think that's very difficult. But for those who have made homes here, for instance, in our primary schools, who have been eventually validated in order to find residency and to work, you know, their presence, as everybody's presence, has the ability to contribute to the life, to the energy, to our local rugby club, to our GAA club, to our active citizens, senior citizens.
Some places around the country, there was protest last year because these areas were earmarked to have a direct provision centre. But can Abbey Leaks be a positive example to places like that?
I think so. And I think, you know, it's up to those particularly who our leaders in our community. It's up through our schools, through our own ability to become aware. I don't believe our mantra should be to build walls or to keep them out. I think our mantra historically is one of seeking refuge. And I think, you know, deep down in our DNA, we pride ourselves on the value of the Cead Míle Fáilte.
Yeah, Father Paddy Byrne there, he's dead right. Barry, listen, thanks a million for that. Barry White, our own reporter there from Abbey Leaks. Well, from Donegal. Sorry, Barry, I don't want to do you a disservice. Down in Abbey Leaks reporting on that 1 year of the direct provision centre in the hotel there in the town. If you're just tuning in, a lot of people getting in touch on 53106.